throughout the rest of this end of the year, we're going to be going through and looking a little bit, teaching and preaching a little bit about the purpose of the church, what exactly the church is, and some different facets of the church. Last week, we began on the purpose of the church, and we got through a little bit of the purpose of the church. We're going to get through another main point tonight, and then next week, we'll go have our prayer and praise service. The week following after that, we will have another attribute, what the purpose of the church is here for. Now, before any of you get all riled up, we know the purpose of the church is the Great Commission, and I get that, I understand that, and that's going to be the final statement under the purpose of the church, but there's different attributes, different things the church is for, and that's what we're looking at tonight as a different one. To give you a little bit of a reminder of what we learned about last week, you'll see up on the screen that we talked about one of the main purposes of the church is for us to learn how to love God, or loving God, because that's the greatest purpose of our life. God tells us to love Him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. That's a church should be a place where you can teach and learn how to love God. And that commences at salvation. You really can't begin to love God the way you should until you have the Holy Spirit of God living in you. And you can't really get a greater appreciation of what God is, who God is, until you enter into His family. And that's the greatest decision you can make in your life. Has tons of benefits. And one of the greatest benefits it has is this church that Jesus Christ died for. He paid it for it with His own blood. And it is an important thing. Now, it's one of the richest blessings we have is a local church where we can fellowship. Society might provide lots of opportunities to socialize. They might have work, and they might have parties. They might have sports. They might have online media. But fellowship with God's people is one of the deepest and most richest experiences. And it surpasses all mere social activity and interaction. And let's look here in Acts chapter number 2 once again. Let's look here in verse number 41. The Bible says, "Then they that gladly received His word were baptized." Chapter 2, verse 41, this is the day of Pentecost. This is Peter preaching. We're using this as our starting off point. Once again, we'll be looking at a lot of passages of Scripture with the help of the PowerPoint. But they gladly received the word, and they were baptized. Have you gladly received the word of Jesus Christ? Have you gladly received the word of the Bible? It's the fact that we are all sinners and all sentenced to a horrible eternal punishment in a horrible place called hell. And that's what these men and these people were under, that condemnation, just as we all are until we receive Jesus Christ. And they gladly received that word and became Christians, became believers. And then they said they were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them, and this unto them is talking about the beginning of the church, talking about the 120 that was in the upper room, about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And that's the next message in there in verses 44 and 45 is serving others. I mean, that worked for that church. Nowhere else in the Bible does it say that, and these other local independent churches did the same thing. But it's the idea of them supporting and serving others. Verse 46, "And they continually daily with one accord in the temple and breaking of bread from the house to house did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor of all people. And the Lord added to the church daily as should be saved." What it's saying there is daily people were saved and daily people were added to the church. And I think that the reason for that was because the church back in the first century is a lot different than what the church is like today. You see here that it says in verse number 42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. That means steadfastly. They stuck by the word. They studied the word. Look what it says in verse number 46. "And they continually daily with one accord in the temple." Daily they were worshiping to God as a group, as a collective group of believers. And it says, "and breaking bread from house to house." And you see here in verse number 44, "and all that believe were together." And it was talking about how they were staying together. And lots of times, what most churches are known for is not for the fact that they are working together and striving together. You have to spend more time babysitting each other, making sure everybody else is happy before you can really go out and do anything for God. Thankfully, I don't think our church here is like that, but that is the common factor in many churches. So-and-so over here doesn't like so-and-so over here. They can't get along. They're not willing to work together. They're forgetting the whole purpose of the church. They're forgetting the whole reason why it's here. The church is not here just for you to be happy and have a social gathering and have friends. The church has a great purpose. And that purpose is to teach us how to love God. That purpose is not just to teach us how to love one another, because if we love God, boy, we're going to love one another. I talked about at Caroline's wedding. I said, you got God up here and you got the man and the woman up here. And you know what? As they get closer to loving God, what are they doing? They're getting closer to who? They're getting closer to each other. And I tell you, as we look at God and we grow to love God, as we get closer and closer to God, guess who else we're going to get closer to? Other people who love God too. And that's what the church is, and that's why it's important. And we see that continues with identification. We talked about that through baptism. It's cultivated in worship. We talked about that last week. And then we began the second point. We talked about that we need to grow together. And that's the same purpose, as we grow together as a church. God's purpose is that we grow to become more like his son, and we grow to love him more. It's not to just get saved and then live your life the way you want to. That is not found anywhere in the Bible, but that is preached so often in churches today. Go do what you want. Live whatever way you want. God doesn't care. You're saved on your way to heaven. God is just happy you're one of his children. And that's not found anywhere in there. Yes, God does rejoice when there is the believer, when people get saved, but that's not anywhere in the Bible that he doesn't care. We need to grow together. How do we do that? We grow through doctrinal teaching. We talked about that last week. And this week, what we're going to talk about is this word fellowship. You see this word fellowship here is found in verse number 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Now, you say, Pastor, I know what fellowship is. Fellowship is when we all go to the back and we eat together. Now, that's what we call our fellowships, but that's not what they're talking about when it's talking about biblical fellowship. They're talking about centering their lives and joining together for a common purpose and a common cause and around something that's central. And that fellowship is around Jesus Christ. And tonight when we look at that, that's their purpose. When we're talking about fellowshipping, we're not talking about social gatherings. We're talking about not when we enjoy talking about other things. And I enjoy talking about other things. Mr. Arnold tells me every single time the Steelers lose, he walks up, did you see that score? Yes, I saw that score. Of course I saw that score. You know what? He never tells me when the Steelers win. They ask me if I ask that question. It's always if they lose. But it's the idea there. It's nothing wrong with enjoying one another's company. Nothing wrong with talking about other things. But we cannot let that take the place of us fellowshipping around who Jesus Christ is. That is our common bond. That is what builds a church. It's articles of faith, in a sense. It's the Word of God. This is what we come together around. It's the Bible. And that's how we build our relationships. That's what fellowship is supposed to be and supposed to be around. So we see here, through devoted fellowship, the first thing I want you to see is faith is stabilized. Faith is stabilized. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, the unsaved world makes an ongoing and constant assault on our faith. Whether it's a direct attack on the foundation of our faith itself or a subtle discouragement from living a separated Christian life, it tends to undermine our Christian stability. I tell you, the world does not appreciate the Word of God, does not appreciate our faith, and they keep on getting further and further from it. I was reading today that President Obama, when he quoted the Gettysburg Address, there were 61 different people who had quoted the Gettysburg Address recently, and they all filmed them. Of all the 61, there was one who took out the words "under God," and that was our president. Everybody else used the words "under God," but he didn't. There is an attack on it comes to our faith and our belief on our Christian principles. And you say, Pastor, why do I need to come to church? Why do I need devoted fellowship? It's because our faith is stabilized in Christian fellowship with one another around God's words. Christian fellowship, on the other hand, works to stabilize our faith rather than tearing down our faith. Real fellowship encourages us in the way of the Lord. This is how fellowship worked in the early church. You imagine this early church here. They are giving their lives for the cause of Christ. This is not a popular decision. When they repent of their sins and they gladly receive the words and they're baptized, they are telling this other group of people, this religious leaders, that the ones that just put Jesus Christ to death, saying, I believe in Jesus Christ. They're putting a mark on their life. They're putting a mark on everything that they've known. And they would be cast out of the temple many times. And their families would reject them. And the families would walk away. The outside world themselves would tear everything they could do to tear apart your Christian faith. Everything you can do to tear apart your Christian beliefs. And this is why it's important that we have a devoted fellowship. This is important why we come to a church. This is important why we gather together with like-minded believers, is so our faith can be stabilized, so it can be concreted, and it could be a spot when we come together and we encourage one another. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. They knew what they believed, and they grouped together with people that believe that. That's the purpose of the church. It stabilizes their faith. You ever been around somebody who doesn't really appreciate your faith? Yeah, that's the truth. And they might even live in your house. I mean, there's people that we go and see. I tell you, every time I go back, I call it home because that's where I grew up at. Every time I go back home, I see that it's either they've changed or I've changed. And I love my parents. My parents are all for what I'm doing. But I'm talking about my friends and the different things, the associations I had. You know, it's different today. And it's because of the fact they don't believe like I do. But when I can come to a place where people believe like I do, they sing the songs that we agree with, and we can fellowship one another over the Word of God and over Jesus Christ, we can come together, that stabilizes your faith. The rest of the world, throughout the week, you might tear apart, and that's when you start missing church. When you start missing church on a regular basis, you know what's going to happen? You get so much more of the world, so less of Christian fellowship, your faith gets torn aside, and you no longer want to be a part of it. You no longer see the importance of it. So our faith is stabilized because of continuance. You say, continuance in what? Continuous in what God's trying to do in you. Look, it says in Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, at the moment of salvation, began a work in you. He's not going to finish it until the day of Jesus Christ, until Jesus Christ comes back, until you see him face to face. And when you trust as Jesus Christ, your heavenly Savior, this is just the beginning of the work. He wants to continue to work in your life and see you grow. Fellowship with other believers is one way that God stabilizes that. It's one way where you get encouragement and you draw off that encouragement. You stabilize your faith when you're around other people that believe like you do. If you're always constantly around other people that are tearing down your faith, that can just rip apart what you believe. But when you come around, you're encouraged by one another. That's because you continue, not that you just continue in anything, you continue in the truth. You continue in truth. What did they continue in? It was the apostles' doctrine. This was the centerpiece of their fellowship. It was the teaching of the apostles. If we're not careful, we'll let our fellowship disintegrate into other things. We'll begin that everything that we all only talk about is social things. And because of that, we get weaker and weaker. It's when we continue in the Word of God and learning of the Word of God and understanding the Word of God and appreciating the Word of God and appreciating what Jesus Christ had done, he will become supreme in our lives. As I said, I enjoy talking about football. I enjoy talking about what's going on in your life. That is a way to build our friendship. Fellowship is when we focus on the Word of God and we are built up upon the foundation of the Word of God. Think about what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 20 through 22. And we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Now our church is not brick and stone. Church are the people, and the people is what builds up the church. It's a local called out body of believers. That's what fits a church. And what is the foundation we're built upon? Jesus Christ is the chief cornerstone. So what should our focus be? Our focus should be Jesus Christ. Focus should not be activities. Our focus should not be a things that are going on in our community. And once again, it's great to help the community. It's great to have activities. It's great to have different things going on. And I'm excited about all the things we get to do. But what should be the focus and the center point? What is it that they fellowshipped around? They fellowshipped around Jesus Christ. Think about what the Berea church. The church of Berea had the faith stabilized. Why? Because their growth was in doctrine. Their growth wasn't in what we can do for the community. Their growth wasn't found in who can have the best activities. Their growth wasn't found in, you know, what we can do and make ourselves better people. All those things come when we focus on Jesus Christ. You see what it says in Acts chapter 17, 11, when it talks about this Berea church. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. This is a group of people and believers that would study the Word of God together. And what did it say? They searched the Scriptures every Sunday. No. They searched the Scriptures three times a week. No, they searched the Scriptures daily. That meant that they communicated and they talked and they fellowshipped over what? The Word of God. And you think about the book of Thessalonica. The book of Thessalonica was that church that had, they had that patience of hope. They had that work of love. That was a great church that was there. It was an awesome church. But they're saying these were more noble. Why was it more noble? It's because their focus was studying and believing and teaching the Word of God. Now, this is the purpose of the church, to have our faith stabilized, to have it grounded. I don't know about you, but Sundays are like a pick-me-up. You get to come to God's house. You get to talk to people that you believe and get to sing the songs of God. And I don't know, people say, man, I feel so much better when I leave the church. And it frustrates me because then they don't come every week. I'm thinking, if you enjoy the church, and he says, Pat, yeah, I enjoy the church there. Well, if you enjoy the church and it helps you, then show up for church. You know, if it's something that's going to stabilize your faith, it's going to concrete, it's going to help you in your walk. But if you, it gets hit or miss, you know what? That's not going to stabilize it. You're going to be one of those people who are blown to and fro. And many times, people that come sporadically are the ones that say, well, call me up and say, hey, pastor, I heard this guy on the radio say this. And it's some off-the-wall thing. And I'm thinking, man, if you were in church, your faith would be stabilized. You would know that that is not truth. And you would reject those things because your faith had been stabilized because of the fellowship you have. Because that fellowship should be around God's word. So what's the purpose of the church? It's to help stabilize your faith. When you just show up, it helps concrete it. I don't know about you, but is this true in your life? This is, I tell you, when I've been to church, I told you, 9 months before I was born. My mom took me to church, if you didn't know that. Anyway, if you don't get it, you'll get it later on. And, you know, but there was a few years in my life where I was living for me and I was doing what I wanted to. And there's a few years where I wasn't super faithful to Sunday nights. I stayed home to watch football games sometimes. And that was wrong. You know what? Those few years were dark times in my life because I knew I was supposed to be doing something. My faith was not as stabilized as it should have been. And I was blown to and fro what I should be doing in my life. I lived for me. You know, when I come here and I hear the singing and when I hear the preaching, you say, pastor, you hear yourself preach. It preaches to me before it ever preaches to you. When I study and I understand, and that is what stabilizes, and it's the concrete in the Word of God. This is truth. You're going to be able to build your life on Jesus Christ. You're going to be able to build your life on the Bible if you will choose to fellowship and have your Word stabilized. If you're not in church on a regular basis, it's not going to be stabilized. Second thing I want you to think about. Not only is your faith stabilized, your fellowship is sustained. Your fellowship is sustained. Any characteristic of real fellowship is longevity. In contrast to the world's up and down, come and go friendships, there is something that's based on this design that God has made for Christian fellowship. It will be sustaining and encouraging for all your life. I don't know about you, but I have friends all across the country that our fellowship is around God's word and God himself. So when I call them, I know I can be encouraged by them because I know if that person hasn't changed their beliefs, I know I can have something in common with them. How you doing? How's your walk with God? How's church going? You know, how's your life? You know, there is a fellowship there. There is something that you can always, you know, we have people in our church that have, you know, especially as Coast Guard families. I know we all miss the Langleys and the Jacksons and the Holcombs and all. And I know if I miss some, the Cooks, you know, other people that you know. But you know when you see them and they believe still the same way, and they're faithfully active in church, you have a common bond there with them. You have something that attaches with them. And I know you want to hear about their kids. I know you want to hear about their grandkids or if there's great-grandkids. But there's a common fellowship that will always bind us together. There is something that will always sustain our fellowship. And that is who Jesus Christ is. If he is the center and focus, that sustains us. This is the purpose of the church, is building relationships that will last for a lifetime. And that's one of the purposes. It's, first of all, what sustains the fellowship of God's people is sustained through Jesus Christ. Because our fellowship is centered on Christ, we have a common basis that is far more substantial than surface interests. Our common interest is so much further than surface things. I don't know about you. Do you have friends that are come and go? If you ever worked with teenagers, that is so true. Back there, there were certain kids when... One kid would come into the youth group room, they would be friends with him, but when somebody else showed up, they would say, well, I'm going to talk to this person. They were happy and contented with the one person, but when someone cooler came in, they said, see you later, I'm going over here. And that happened so often. And it is a shame because their friendship was based off of what they can get out of you. You ever felt like that's the truth, that the only time somebody's a friend is when they feel like they can get something out of you? And this is sustained through Jesus Christ. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians 1:9. God is faithful, by whom you are all called unto fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God designed people to fellowship with one another. The Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. I don't know if I mispronounced it, but I don't think any of you know Greek, so you don't know if I did or not. It refers to partnership. It refers to sharing. Well, I'm sorry, if you do know it, you can correct me afterwards. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we become partners not only with him, we become partners with other believers, and we have a responsibility and a privilege to fellowship with one another in church. This idea of fellowship is from the Greek word. It refers to partnership. It refers to sharing with one another. We not only partner up with Jesus Christ, we become fellow laborers together with one another. Real fellowship takes place through sharing together in prayer, singing, gathering, Bible study, soul winning, serving in the Lord's table. You know, it's coming Sunday night. We're going to observe the Lord's table. And that's a time of fellowship. When we together look at Jesus Christ and keep our eyes focused on the King, and we take part and we cleanse ourselves and make sure we're right and holy, that is a time of fellowship where you can enjoy one another. You say, Pastor, why do you call our meals fellowship? Because our meals are supposed to be a time where we can appreciate what God has done and talk about it, and we can work together. Like I said, it's nice to hear about all the other interesting things going on in our life. But if we want something and we look at what sustains us and what knits our hearts together and pushes us through for years and years ahead, that we know that we won't turn our backs on one another as long as we keep our focus on Jesus Christ. That sustains us. Now, we are also sustained through the church's Christ's local body. The early church exploded in growth at Peter's sermon the day of Pentecost. They gladly received the word. There were 3,000 souls that were at it. And God did not design the Christian life to be lived in isolation, but in fellowship. Christians who separate themselves from the flock of God, they are leaving themselves vulnerable to Satan's attack. And you go out there, and I don't know how much you know about flock animals and how much you know about sheep, but if you got a lion or a bear that's looking to take a sheep, you know who they go after? Those that have separated themselves from the flock. Those that are away from the flock. Those who stay away from the flock. And we are endangering ourselves when we walk away from God and we walk away from authentic Christian fellowship. We place ourselves at great risk, endangering our own walk. We place ourselves in a spot where Satan is able to attack us much easier. Now, this is one of the things I tell people if they ever decide to leave the church. And I tell them not because I'm trying to beg them to stay. You've got to realize, here people love you. Here people miss you. Here people care for you. They pray for you. When you leave one church and go to another church, especially if it's not the right type of church, it does not center on Jesus Christ, you're losing something. You're putting yourself out there that is vulnerable. And I said, and I've had one pastor tell me this illustration, and they had somebody that went from their church and came over to our church. It was many years ago, so don't try to figure out who it was. And they said to me, they said, you know what, at our church, they were always faithful for Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. He says, and we used to call and ask him. They got tired of us trying to encourage him. So when they go to another church and they start going Sunday mornings, you're all excited to see him because they're only there for one service. But they're missing a huge amount of Christian fellowship. And what they are doing is they are separating themselves out from the flock, and they are leaving themselves very vulnerable. Now, when you look at it from that standpoint, you look at those verses we talk about so often in Hebrews, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Your church family is not just there to just talk about the football scores, or you talk about recipes, talk about whatever daily. It's supposed to do what? Provoke unto love and to good works. We're centered around what we can serve through Jesus Christ. And it says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. The church, what is the purpose of the church? It stabilizes our faith, but it sustains our fellowship. It gives us fellowship around God's word and God himself. And this is to provoke one another to good works. We are sustained through Christ, but this local body, once again, you leave or you separate and go out to the world and you don't come to church very often, your faith's not going to be stabilized like it could be. You're going to grow weaker and weaker as a Christian. And that's going to make you more and more strong, vulnerable to Satan's attack. Third thing, this is the last thing. But underneath this last thing, there's 4 points. So don't get too excited. So it's friendship is strengthened. And it is a benefit. I would be lying if I said I did not enjoy the friendship I have with people at our church. That is a huge benefit. But what type of friend should we be? You know, what is the purpose of a church? It's through devoted fellowship. We can stabilize our faith. Our fellowship is sustained, but our friendships are strengthened. Every significant relationship in our life, we serve to either sharpen, well, every significant relationship you have in your life will either serve to sharpen you or dull you spiritually. It will strengthen or weaken your walk with God. It will encourage you or discourage your faith. And like I said, if we have family members, our work people, we're not telling you to go out and live on a mountain for people that think just like you. You know, you're going to be out there on that mountain all by yourself because not everybody's going to think just like you. But we are supposed to evangelize the world. We are supposed to be an encouragement to others. But when our closest friends are people who are going to tear down our faith, we need church fellowship to stabilize us. And we need our church friends to be our closest so we can continue to stabilize one another. As we close this message, this last point teaches us some characteristics that are vital in developing and preserving authentic fellowship that reaches deeper than surface greetings. You know, it reaches deeper than just, how you doing? I'm praying for you. Or what can I do to help you? These are some things that will help you understand why it's important and where you can hold up your end in the fellowship. Because a church is as strong as its members is, because you are the church. 4 things. Friendship is strengthened through honesty. A true friendship will be built on trust, and trust comes through honesty. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:25, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Our relationship as members of the church gives an added layer of responsibility and our honesty towards one another. Not only are we careful to speak only the truth, we must be willing to do that sometimes when it might hurt the other person. We should always do it in love. But if you truly love someone and you care for someone and God speaks to your heart about a way you can help them, we should not shy away from that. We should be honest. Someone comes up and says, well, I don't think this is right. And if it's contrary to the Bible, lovingly and kindly say, you know, this is what the Bible says, and we're going to have to believe this. We're not going to be right with God. The Bible says in Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. There are people in your life that will agree with you. You have acquaintances or friends that you know you could call up and say, you know what, the preacher said this, or my husband did this, or my wife did this, and they'll say, you know what, they were wrong. But true friends are the ones where you go and ask for their advice, and ones that are going to be honest with you from the Word of God and say, you know what, this happened in my life. Can you help me understand? Was this right for me to do? and someone who will open up the Bible and show you whether you're right or wrong. That's what a true friend is. Sometimes it will hurt, but in the end, those are the people you will appreciate. Sort of like in school, you had those favorite teachers. They didn't make you study that hard, and they didn't, oh, maybe you don't need a test today, or it can be an open book test. And then you get to college and you realize your best friends were those teachers that were hard on you and made you work and made you learn, because those other people that just kind of let you skate by, they didn't prepare you for anything. They prepared you to be lazy, and you didn't want that. In school, yeah, I want that person. I want the easy way out. But what are you learning in school? You're supposed to be training to be able to become something and learn something so you can use it out in society and use it for life. And if people just let that kind of skate by, you're not going to get what you need. And in your friendships and your relationships, we must learn to be honest. Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people use this slogan before. Friends don't let friends drive drunk. I know you've heard that before, and I've heard that in other slogans before, but Christian friends don't let friends do. There's a long list of things that you encourage them with. Be honest with one another. Another thing, friendship is strengthened through honesty. It's through dependability also. Through dependability. Fellowship richens and deepens through dependability, and dependability is born out of a Christ-like love. John 15, verses 12 through 14 says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Christ's standard for love was a very high command. It's a very high standard. It says to love one another as he loved us. Boy, the way he loves us is faithfully. You can depend on that love. And if we truly want to be, we need to be dependable people. If we want our friendships strengthened, we need people to be dependable. You need people to be here. How can you help disciple somebody if you as a discipler miss this church? How can you help be a disciplee, somebody invest their time and interest, and you're not there? And I know there's vacations. I know there's family. I know sometimes there's work obligations. But this love that it talks about here is a steady love. It doesn't come and go with our moods. It remains consistent, just as Christ's love remains with us. And our relationships and our love for one another should be dependable. Should not be something that where 1 week they like you, 1 week they don't. That's not what it is about. Now, are we all perfect? Do some of us have our moods? Do some of us turn around and act like we're unapproachable? Yeah, that happens at times. But we got to learn that we need to work around that. We need to pray for that person, not turn up our nose and act the same way. Don't return evil for evil. Return to evil with good. And remember the one preacher said, the greatest ability is dependability. Doesn't matter all those other abilities you got. The greatest one you have is that you can be dependable. Last two things about how your friendship is strengthened. It's strengthened through encouragement. Strengthened through encouragement. I'd be lying if I didn't say that this is not one of my favorites. You know, one of the greatest things we have is that we can encourage one another. How much we can just a simple word of godly encouragement can provide. The Bible even tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. You know, I know some people say, well, that's the reason why I got to get married. And it's nice to be married. It is nice to be married. It's nice to be married to the right person, too, under God's timing and God's way. But this is also referring to Christian fellowship, Christian friends. When you're down, God can speak to one person's heart and say, hey, look, go talk to so-and-so. They don't know your problems. I don't know how many times where I got done preaching and I thought, man, I did a horrible job. Nobody say amen. I did a horrible job. And then people walk out that door and say, Pastor, that was great. That was one of the best messages I ever heard you preach. I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. They're just trying to make me feel good. And what they are doing is trying to be an encouragement to me. And they said, God spoke in my heart. God can take that and God can use that. And he can. And that's where we got to get to this idea, is that God allows our share fellowship to uphold and encourage one another in faith. You encourage one another. encourage them in a godly way. If God speaks, if someone's singing, God speaks to your heart during that song, say something to them, encourage them. Encourage them if you enjoyed their lesson. Encourage them if you appreciate that someone vacuums the floors in here and cleans the toilets in the bathrooms and paints the walls. And we do need somebody still to volunteer help paint the nursery, just so you guys know, if anybody wants to do that. We show an encouragement that, you know, God used you to help me here. I don't know about you, but there's been times in my life when people have come alongside and encouraged me. And I would hope to think that the same thing is true. That's what a church family can do. That's what a fellowship, the devoted fellowship can do, is Scripture likens the potential for godly encouragement as a friendship that a tool can sharpen one another. Think about it. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Now, it's something you can use to sharpen one another. That's what a church's purpose is. See, Pastor, it's a great commission. I know it's a great commission. But it begins with a love for God. It continues as we learn to grow together through doctrine, but also through devoted fellowship. And then it talks about serving one another, and then it gets to the Great Commission part, because it all works together. Last but not least, through your friendships are strengthened through acceptance. Friendship is strengthened through acceptance. Now, some people will twist this meaning, and they will say that you are accepting sin. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about that people should be able to come in here, no matter what color they are, no matter how much money they have in the bank or how much money they owe to their creditors, or no matter how big, small, young, old, and feel like they can come and worship God with us. If they believe in the Bible, they believe in the Word of God, they believe that, once again, this is what holds us together. They want to live according to those principles, and they gladly receive the word. You know what? That's what acceptance we're talking about. A friend loveth at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Remember the story here when the first century church, they had a problem there? Paul had persecuted them. Paul was putting people to death, putting their family members in jail. He went, got saved, had a tremendous impact in Damascus, comes back to Jerusalem, wants to join the church. They says, I don't think so. And Barnabas comes along and encourages them and says, look, what this guy's saying is real. His testimony is true, and that we should accept him. And I don't know about you, but you ever been to a place where you feel like the oddball? You feel like the one that's left out, or you feel like you're on the outside looking in? Then a simple, friendly, hello, how are you doing? Hey, why don't you sit with me? Or better yet, why don't you go sit with them so they don't have to get up and move? Yes, it is okay to leave the pew you're sitting in. I know some of you guys have it marked underneath the pew where you sit every single service, but that does not have to be that way. And, you know, you can go sit with someone and you can make them feel welcome. This is the house of God. This is church. And that's what we got to get to and got to understand. This is the purpose of church, through acceptance. There's been times in my life where I've been in a place where I didn't know anybody or feel uncomfortable. And boy, you just die. And you're just searching for someone to be kind to you so you can fit in there, because you're supposed to be there anyway. And that's just a simple act of kindness. Doesn't mean that they're going to be your best friend and you're going to have to invite them over for Christmas dinner and they're forever a leech to you. I'm not saying that. You know, the Lord will work that out as you introduce them to other people and they get to know people. It might not be a perfect match when it comes to a close friendship. But in church, in the house of God, in the body of Christ, we're all one family anyway, aren't we? And we should treat each other like families. I know some of us have some crazy Uncle Joes and some other people that we wish that they would stay in the closet sometimes. But you know what? They're still family, and we still need to accept them and work with them and help them. You know, because in somebody else's mind, you're that crazy Uncle Joe, or you're that person that needs to stay quiet. So honesty, dependability, encouragement, and acceptance are indispensable in traits of real fellowship. Because what is our focus? It's not finding somebody we're comfortable with. It's not finding somebody who enjoys the same things I do. Like I said, I can enjoy Mr. Arnold. He's a Packers fan, but that's okay. I can still be friends with him. And now, if you're a Cowboys fan, I don't know about that. But but there are different things that you can just say, our focus is God. It's Jesus Christ. What holds us together and knits us together is the Word of God. And this is the purpose. if you separate yourself from the flock, you're leaving yourself out to be a lot more dangerous to Satan's attacks. The real purpose of the church, it's not a social gathering, it's not to community organizers, it's not to build somebody else's business. There are people out there that go out there and look for the big churches so that way they can start selling cars or be the real estate market or this, that. That's not the purpose of the church. The purpose of the church is to love God. Learn how to love God. Learn to grow together. We do that through the apostles' doctrines or the Bible's doctrines, but we also do that through devoted fellowship. Tonight we learned that we do that by stabilizing our faith, sustaining our relationships, but also we can learn to grow our friendships by being these four things: dependable, being an encourager, accepting someone else, and being honest. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet, with heads bowed.